What's on your heart today,
Today,
Monsignor?
it's such a beautiful day. I would really love to spend the next few days on prayer. Our Lord today is teaching his disciples the power of prayer. And when I hear his words from Isaiah, the power of the Word of God, when John came to use a word that was going to say who Jesus was before he became flesh, he called him the Word. And in Isaiah, God's voice, God's word, is so powerful. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he speaks in the 10th verse, "For just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to him who sows it, and bread to him who eats. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." The word of God, as it goes forth from the mouth of God. And so when you hear God's word, when you hear the voice of God, when that penetrating voice comes into us, it is a powerful word. And so when John uses for Jesus, the word of God was made flesh. The Bible are the words of God, the voice of God speaking to us, letters from God, informing us and telling us and revealing to us who God is. But the Word, who Jesus is, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so now, this same Word, when we say we want to talk to God, and we want to listen to God, and God's voice comes to us. What is that? Well, we call it prayer. And then the disciples came to Jesus, and today he's instructing us during this marvelous Lenten season. The most powerful thing about Lent in these 40 days, hopefully, we will learn more about prayer. And so, fasting and prayer and almsgiving, they're the tripod of Lent. And so the most powerful, I believe, fasting accompanying prayer and almsgiving accompanying prayer, but prayer is like the centerpiece. And so Jesus, in the celebration today of the Eucharist, tells us in the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of the amount of words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not subject us to the final test, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. And so the Lord is teaching us today about prayer. And I really believe this prayer that he's teaching us and that he's offering us today as an instruction, I believe it's how and where do we pray? What do we get from this? This morning, as I read this and I was praying about what to share with you, it's as if then I really actually heard God speaking to me, and I heard his voice, and he said, John, I want you to tell the people about prayer today. And when I just heard, it was that simple. I want you to talk to my people about prayer. And then I actually said to our Lord, why is it that I don't always hear you? And then he said, don't be so hard on yourself, because you are listening to me now only because I am calling you to listen to me. I always called you to listen to me, but you don't have the power to hear me all the time. You actually don't have any way by which you should recriminate yourself that you don't hear my voice, because it is I who begin all prayer. You see, Chris and all those who may be listening, that may sound so simple, but when God spoke to me and I heard his voice, when we pray and we hear the voice of God, God is the one who speaks to us first. I cannot initiate prayer. There's nothing within the human spirit. I can meditate, I can think about God, but to get in a conversation with God, it is God himself who invites us. And so listen to the words that Jesus says about prayer. And I'd like to just read them to you again, and because it really struck me. In praying, do not babble on like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. You see, just because you're going to initiate the prayer doesn't mean that that's what God hears. And I think what God was simply telling me as I woke up this morning and was preparing to talk to you about prayer, that yes, I'm talking to you and you hear my voice, but you can't do this by yourself. So this, first of all, don't try and do the many words, because all of your words to God are really useless. They really are. It is God himself, through the Holy Spirit, who initiates in your heart and my heart to hear his voice. So prayer is always initiated by God. When you hear the voice of God, the one thing, then he says again, and we should listen to these words. Not only does he say, do not be like these pagans, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so the most important part of the prayer is the relationship. When I come into the presence of God, God is present to me. He is present, and I am in his presence. When you're going to pray, how important it is to not just begin praying and talking to God. I get up this morning and I said the Our Father, I said the Hail Mary, I said the Glory Be, I said the Rosary. Is that what prayer is? Prayer is relationship. prayer is done in the presence of someone, and it's God. And that someone who is God is three persons. And so, when you're going to pray, begin in silence. Begin in that interior movement within your heart of coming into the presence of God. Take a couple minutes before you pray. Don't just jump right into it. Start by imagining God's presence to you. It makes all the difference in the world. You're just going to be going on and on and on and talking into like something, a dark room or an open window. Not to a person. It's to God. And God is three persons. You, if you're a Christian, you have been baptized into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity is three persons in one God. And so place yourself as a Christian in the presence of the Father. One of the ways that I really encourage you to see the Father as he made heaven and earth. And there's a beautiful image of him in Psalm 131, his lap. Can you see yourself on God's lap as a child? Or I would encourage you to see his loving eyes, the eyes of the Father looking at you. Have you ever been looked at with love? Then take that image of loving eyes and see him looking at you with infinite love. Let yourself take a few moments to get the image of the Father looking at me with love. The second is to come into the presence of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is Jesus. However you want to see him, if you love his image of the Sacred Heart, which I love when I image him, he's the Good Shepherd. He's Jesus. And so however you want to take, and you're in the presence of the Father, the presence of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he came upon the apostles, was a flame of fire. He is love itself. He came in a driving wind. He is power, the Holy Spirit. So you place yourself in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are Catholic Christians, I very much encourage you to place yourself in the presence of our most wonderful Mother Mary. And so this is how I begin my prayer. It only takes a few moments, but now you are in relationship. Now I want to begin conversation with God. This morning, God initiated the conversation with me. But what about when I come into prayer and I want to speak with God? First of all, I would like to encourage you also when you pray to have a place of prayer. In your home, find some place. I have a lovely chair, which I think if I could show Chris this, and it's in my prayer chair here. I have a little altar that I have set up, and there's images of there's a crucifix, there's an image of the Sacred Heart, there's in whatever you want to place on your altar. I have a place for my rosary. I have a place for my Bible. This is so inviting. And so if you have a place where you pray for the next 40 days, set it up today. so that it's almost like an environment that invites you back into it. So that you begin your prayer in the morning, where you can come back to in the evening. And even maybe at times during the day, if you're at home, this prayer place invites you to raise your heart and mind to God, to come again into the presence of the Trinity and Mary. How do you pray? What is the posture that you have? I like sitting, but do you want to kneel? Do you want to walk? Some people I know, I don't advise it, but they love to say their rosary driving to work. If that's the way you pray, and you can actually meditate and pray the mysteries of the rosary as you do, because I would like to talk a little bit more about that interiority, that the relationship that you have with God as you pray. But this has to do now with your position. I once saw, I was in Albania with Mother Teresa, and it was very late at night, and I'd heard a stir, and there she was lying cruciform before the Blessed Sacrament. And it was the first time I saw someone pray in the form of a cross. She had her arms outstretched, and she was lying right on the floor before the Blessed Sacrament. Can you and do you want to at times go into your room and lie in the form of a cross? I tried that, and I found it to be an exciting way of praying for me. The many times that I've been hurt during the day, or the many times that I have aches or pains in my body, that I can lay in a way with my body, with my heart, with my mind, and pray in the presence of God, because that's who I am. I'm united with Jesus. Jesus is in me. When we pray as a Trinity, and when we pray to the Trinity actually dwells within us. When we pray, we are actually praying to the Father who dwells in us. We are praying to Jesus, who is united with us and one with us by baptism, by confirmation, by the Eucharist. We are actually one with him. So he in us, Jesus, prays to the Father, guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. Plunged into the middle of the Trinity, we believe, as Catholic Christians, assumed into heaven, body and soul, is Mary. And so within the Trinity, now, anticipating that we will do the same, are all the saints and angels with the Trinity. They are there in the heavenly court. Because when Jesus teaches us this prayer, he says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. And here we are in prayer as it is in heaven. Right now, the Trinity is surrounded by angels and the saints. And Mary. And Mary is there in heaven with God, body and soul. All the saints are there in their souls. And so the angels are present to God, the saints. Thy kingdom come as it is in heaven on earth. What is prayer? It's actually being like in Star Wars, being beamed up into heaven on earth. For the Trinity is dwelling within us as it is in heaven. And for the time that we're praying, we are actually uniting our praises, our glory, our praise, and in union with those of the saints and the angels in heaven, and also our petitions and our prayer. Now, to move into the substance of the conversation. What are we going to pray about to God? When you pray, as you move into the prayer, I would encourage you to pray from the highest intense affective movement that you have in your heart. As I wake up in the morning, as I go through the day, I have these movements that are within me. Is your concern today, is your highest concern, that which is on your mind, your marriage? Talk to your Father about that. He knows what you need in the relationship with your husband. Is your concern right today, because this is the particular thing that is so heavy on your heart, your daughter? Speak to God, your Father, about this. And then, is it your job? Is it your boss at work? Whatever that movement that is in you, that mostly intensely concerned, because He knows what you're going through today and now. And your Father, who knows what you need, wants to talk to you about that. If He knows what you need, why is it so important? Because you want to talk to Him about it. There's no one in the world more important than to tell your Father. And since you are the most important person, He loves as much as He loves Jesus. Listen to that. Your concern isn't just something that God is not frivolously concerned about or distant. No, He wants you to bring this to Him. The intimacy, the concern that you have as you begin to share with your Father. Who guides you to that? Because you are His child, daughter, son, Jesus, loving you as much as the Father loves your son or your daughter. Whatever pain, sorrow, concern that you are going through, you're sharing now with your Father. When you speak to your Father about whatever this may be, now this is so important about prayer. It's not only talking to God, it's listening to God. When you bring your concerns, your cares, no matter what they be, you know, you just might want a nice day for your travel so you won't be snowed in, or whatever that might be. If that's what you want to talk to Him about, then the important part is that He actually hears you. I would very much recommend that you pray to the Father, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and ask the intercession of Mary in that order. Now, when you pray, every time you pray, this I know about prayer. Ask for a grace. When you pray, I know this, if you don't ask for anything, that's what you're going to get. If you ask for little, you'll get little. Ask for much. When you pray, your Father is so abundant. Whatever you ask the Father, He will give you. That's what God told us about prayer. And so in your prayer, whatever that is that you want, Father, today, I want to love you in an entirely new way than I have ever in my life. That's an enormous prayer. Father, I want to love you in a way I never have before. I would like to experience your love in an entirely new way. Why not even ask in an entirely infinitely new way? Give me this grace today, whatever you ask. And then you can ask for the health of a friend, or the cure of a cancer for someone, or whatever it is, a job for yourself. Everything you ask for, God will hear your prayer and answer you. Every prayer. every single prayer. Then this part about listening. So much of us, that when we pray, we just talk to God. But actually, it's listening to God. Now, when you hear the voice of God, did you hear that first reading that I did from Isaiah? The voice of God is so powerful. When God speaks to you, those words that God spoke first to me today, John, I love you. John, I'm so happy to be with you today. And when I heard those words of God, it's like, God loving me, caring for me, and then explaining to me that he was the one who initiated that in my heart so that I could hear it. That's what he wants for me and for you. And I believe in some way he did that to me today so that I could tell you about it. Because the fruit of that was so joyful and peace-giving and loving. And there was no doubt that it was his voice that I heard. How do you know it's not your own voice? Because there's always the fruit of, if it's the voice of the Father, and if it's what I want to hear, then it really won't accomplish very much. Or if it's what the devil wants me to hear, it'll cause me aggravation and upset. The fruit will not be very good. And so in my first little instruction on prayer, I think I would like to conclude there today.
Monsignor, you bring up such a powerful teaching for us on prayer. I know I've been in situations sometimes where I'm praying with very good-hearted people who really desire to, turn to the Father in prayer. But they'll look and they'll say so many words and they'll try to cover every single base so that it's almost as though if they don't mention this one thing, somehow God's not going to,
yeah,
he's going to miss
yeah.
that. And then they look at me all of a sudden and say, okay, it's your turn. And I find myself, because I've been listening and I've been praying, that if I don't, there's almost a pressure to mimic all of the words. And yet there's that desire just to be still and just let him take it from my heart without saying a bunch of stuff. Do you suppose that's the struggle that many people have, is that they think they need to say everything, otherwise God's not going to know?
Yes. Yeah. Also, I think we're more interested in ourselves than him. Do you know, when I'm talking to you, and there's this, the relationship that I have with you, if I just happen to miss saying something, maybe then you'll remind me or speak to me about it. But remember who you're talking to. You're talking to God. Mm-hmm. And God is the one who is listening and knows what you're really asking for. And maybe even the words that you're using, that you're asking for, you really may not know how to ask him for what you mm-hmm. really want. And so he can help you by the power of the Spirit become more aware of what it is you're really asking for. I've noticed during prayer, sometimes I really don't even know what I need or what I really want, because my desires and my needs are at that particular time so not formulated into words, so that I just have to say to God, you know what I'm going through and you know what's in my heart. In some of my deepest joys and my deepest sorrows, there are no words. And then I just expect that as I look at him, especially in his loving eyes. As I look at Jesus, especially at his Sacred Heart, and as I look at the Holy Spirit, especially at the gentleness. You know, one of the images I have of the Holy Spirit, one time I was walking along, it was actually in Omaha, and a dove flew against my hand. And the experience was, I didn't know if it was the wind blowing, but it actually was a dove. It was so gentle. So that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is so powerful, but so gentle. And then, of course, Mary. And so those communications, those listenings and speakings of the heart, and especially in prayer, as we communicate with the Father. And I think those opening words of our Lord, don't go on babbling. That's the word he used, babbling, like the pagans. And some of us, I think, do that. You're right.
Well, and it's not even, this is not an indictment of the rosary or any of the wonderful chaplets or different devotional stations of the cross that we have. It's a call that when we pray those, or we're entering into that garden of prayer, the rosary, that you actually you put yourself in the presence and you pray those. If that's at least what I'm hearing from you, Monsignor, is that you're giving it your presence, you're giving it your imagination, and your heart.
Well, today, for instance, it's Tuesday, and I prayed the Sorrowful Mysteries. What did our Lord experience in the scourging and the crowning of thorns in his carrying of his cross? Well, you know, I just came back from South America, and I had so many mosquito bites, and my legs are swollen from it, and my back is all scratchy and itchy. Now, what did I have to contribute? If I'm Jesus, and my body is his body, I don't have the nails in my hands, but I have what I am experiencing as the suffering. The interior disposition that I could have to unite with him in my body. I have other things in my heart and my soul, but physically and in every way, I enter into the agony in the garden, having been left alone in my pain with my Father, and with the scourging, with the crowning of thorns, with the being betrayed by a friend, with the carrying of my cross, and with my crucifixion, I can enter into these and think of the agony of the families of those 239 people who are going through an agony in the garden about their loved ones and that plane that disappeared. There's suffering all over the world that we can take in prayer, unite in our hearts, and offer to God. There's an agony every place in the world. There's a scourging every place in the world, and a crowning. See, that interiority is what Jesus is going through in this whole world. And so that is really what is the prayer, is the relationship, the Father caring for his children united with him in prayer by the power of the Spirit, and Mary interceding for the whole world. This world of prayer is so powerful. We can be in the same world as everyone else in this world, but we actually enter into heaven. And the prayer that our Lord gave us today, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, heaven and earth are united in your heart through prayer.
Oh, how wonderful. I can't wait for the other teachings in the days to
I'd
come.
love
But
to continue on this subject of prayer.
oh, final thoughts for today, Monsignor?
Our Lord, as He is instructing us today in these next 40 days, is the image that I have that I would like you to see as He speaks these words to us in praying. What He's doing is saying to you and to me, I'm opening up my sacred heart. Come in. Unite yourself with me, and I will unite you with the Father and the Spirit and my mother and the whole world through prayer. God bless.
Thank you, Monsignor.